talked about some highlights in the book. If your testosterone is low, you're going to get fat, and 17 other things the FDA doesn't want you to know about testosterone. You could buy these, or you can actually download them free from our website. If you Google Allure Medical Books, it's free download. I'd like you to read that if you have any interest. Let's go over some highlights, why I wrote the book, and things you might want to learn about it. So right now, a big topic is this weight loss with these new drugs called GLP-1 agonists, such as semaglutide, you might know it as Ozempic or Wegovy or Mounjaro. They're really effective for helping with weight loss. And then we have to look at why did people get weight in the first place. It's obviously related to our lifestyle, diet and exercise, but also some external factors, some environmental factors. And we're seeing, low testosterone in men at younger ages than before. Now, testosterone replacement has been FDA approved since 1950s. There's three major forms of testosterone replacement. One is injectable. That's probably the most common, where somebody gives themselves a shot. It used to be once every 2 months, but now it's actually once a week or maybe twice a week. And there's formulas for that. And that's a common option for people to give themselves a shot at home. Another one is a gel, testosterone gel. I don't condone those because there's not good safety studies on them. I'm not saying they're not safe, but all the safety data and the data I wrote about the book is really related to injectable or pellets. So I don't have much of an opinion on the gels. And then there's pellets, which are, in our practice, we do a lot of that mainly because we offer the pellets. We see men that don't want to give themselves a shot every week, or that they are in a situation where they like just to set and forget it. They don't like poking themselves with a needle. So the pellets last about 5 months. And there's about 10 little pieces of rice that go in the skin, usually in the buttocks. We put it in the skin of the buttocks. And after a couple of days, you can't feel them. And it gives you a nice steady level over 5 months. Then you just do it again. So let's talk about the title of the book is If Your Testosterone is Low, You're Going to Get Fat. And I just wrote it as a catchy title. But we see is that there's a clear relationship between low testosterone and obesity, low testosterone and type 2 diabetes, and then low testosterone and cardiovascular disease and cardiovascular mortality. So what happened first, the chicken or the egg? It's not really known. It's probably a little bit bidirectional. So obesity does lead to low testosterone, and low testosterone leads to obesity. Now, in the book, I wrote, you can look at the references for how we walk through this scientifically. But men with low testosterone that are obese, they might get a little bit of bump in their testosterone levels if they, lose weight and start exercising, but it usually won't get back to materially, comfortable levels. And testosterone replacement, once we start putting people on testosterone, the weight doesn't just start falling off. In fact, sometimes the weight goes up a little bit because the first thing that happens is the bones get a little more dense, and the muscle mass goes up a little bit. So people commonly would tell me, I've gained about 5 pounds, but my clothes are fitting better. I just know I've gained a little bit of weight. And what's happening is that even if they're not exercising, they do get a little bit more dense bones and more dense muscles. Now, we recommend you diet and exercise. That's what we should be doing as humans. But if you're not doing that, you'll still see that this is more favorable towards weight loss. In a long-term study over 10 years, there was a linear drop in weight of body fat every year over the 10-year study. So if you do have issues where you're trying to lose weight, I recommend first off you start addressing lifestyle. Maybe you would go on a GLP-1 agonist. These medications are very effective, but lifestyle is number one. And then we should check your testosterone level. And if we look at other conditions, how often is low testosterone checked? So let's talk about body composition briefly. So we think about testosterone for bodybuilders and anabolic steroids for bodybuilders, and that's where it's commonly abused. And they use synthetic testosterone to really work heavily on the muscles. We're not talking about that. We're talking about men who start developing low testosterone over time, usually related to age, but there may be other factors. In fact, the FDA approval for testosterone replacement is for men that have low testosterone due to a brain damage, missing testicles, or having an extra female chromosome. And the FDA specifically said that testosterone is not FDA approved for men that have low testosterone for no reason other than aging. Now, when they make these stance, and this was in the 1950s, they don't really change it, okay? So even if there's an overwhelming body of evidence suggesting that men with low testosterone because of aging should get testosterone, they don't reapprove it or change their stance because they don't have to. It has to be a drug company that takes a novel drug to the FDA and says, hey, we got this new drug and it's for this or this indication. And that hasn't happened because it's been out for, you know, 70 years. So the your doctor can prescribe you testosterone, even if you have both your testicles and you don't have brain damage and you don't have an extra female chromosome. It just makes it non-FDA approved. Your insurance may cover it, but typically it does not, because they will generally cover it only if you have extremely low testosterone on two sequential blood tests before 10 a.m. and usually level below 280. By the time it's down to 280, you've already got diabetes. So we're seeing patients that want to kind of catch it earlier than that, in which case it's something that you have to pay for on your own. It's not that expensive. Well, let's talk about some clinical endpoints. Cardiovascular disease. Back in 2013, the FDA put a label on testosterone saying that it could cause heart attacks. And they did it based on a study out of the Journal of American Medical Association that was subsequently essentially retracted. But there was a thought that, well, men get more heart attacks than women, and men have more testosterone than women. Therefore, maybe testosterone causes heart attacks. Well, there's definitely a link to testosterone and heart attacks, but it's not what the FDA would lead you to believe based on their black box warning, which, again, this is something that they did ill-advised. There's been over 127 studies refuting that statement by the FDA, and all major medical associations have come out against the FDA for making that statement, which really harmed men's health. So the largest study to date was done by the VA, again, government-sponsored, and it was about 83,000 men, average age about 60, that maybe 66, but it was in the 60s, and they followed them for 6 years. So when we look at studies, we talk about people years. So 83,000 men for 6 years, that's 480,000, almost 500,000 man years, which would be one of the biggest studies ever done. And they looked at men that had low testosterone diagnosed in the VA system. So the Veterans Administration system, they had medical records, and they've really been advanced in the VA at EMR. So they were able to pull data pretty cleanly. What they found, that men that were diagnosed with low testosterone, they divided them into three groups: those who sought treatment, those who did not seek treatment, maybe because their doctor didn't recommend it or the guy didn't want to go through the bother of the shots, and those who were partially treated, meaning they did it occasionally. They take some period during the 6 years, they take testosterone replacement. But at the end of the 6 years, they found that the men that had low testosterone, that did not treat the low testosterone, were twice as likely to be dead. They had double the death rate. It was predominantly from cardiovascular disease, heart attacks and strokes. Again, these were men in their 60s, so they're less likely to die of cancer and neurocognitive decline, and more likely to die at that age of cardiovascular disease. So we know that men with low testosterone are more likely to have heart attacks, more likely to die of a heart attack or stroke, double the risk than men that are untreated versus men that are treated. So why don't we routinely check the testosterone level and treat these men? Well, it's partly the system. So the system suggests that perhaps low testosterone shouldn't be treated because this is just part of aging. And I've heard that argument a lot. It's like, well, I mean, we're going to get old and die. And we're kind of in sort of an anti-aging business. So accepting that outcome that you're going to die because you're getting older is maybe, you know, I want to take another crack and have another option. So the establishment has not really been open to the idea of extending life, because there is this idea that, you know, as you get old, you should just probably, you know, check out. Another aspect is that, you know, 2013, 10 years ago, doctors, you know, heard that testosterone might cause heart disease. The FDA proposed that. They didn't say it did. They said it might. And there was a big splash. So that happened. And if doctors did not read the literature or did not go to conferences, they wouldn't know that that was BS. And another biggie was that a company called AbbVie, which had a testosterone product, was very big in the 90s in promoting testosterone use. They had these low T. Do you have low T? They had a big advertising campaign because they're trying to bring awareness that there's a lot of men, millions of men that have low testosterone that are not treating it. And as a manufacturer, they had a gel product that they got FDA approved. They got it approved as an alternate form of testosterone to a shot, but they didn't get a change in approval of indications. So anyways, for years, they were doing these low T commercials and the prescription for testosterone went up, which we could suggest that then the diagnosis of diabetes, obesity, and heart disease will go down. Well, the FDA sued them. They won a big case. I think it was $150 million. And they sued them on the basis of the fact that they're promoting low testosterone treatments for men that had both their testicles, did not have brain damage, and did not have an extra female chromosome. And their position statement was, this is only FDA approved for men that have missing a testicle, have a brain damage, or have an extra female chromosome. And it is not approved for men to have low testosterone for any other means. Well, that might seem absurd to you, but the FDA, their bureaucracy, and they're supposed to control big pharma. And they didn't want big pharma marketing it for a non-FDA approved indication, which they can't. They can't do that. They did the wrong thing. And it really requires doctors to learn on their own. Now, your doctor is not under the guise of the FDA, or if we had the FDA dictate medical practice, healthcare would be a freaking disaster. Okay. Many drugs that we use, many life-saving drugs we use, are not FDA indicated for the purpose of which we use them. For example, aspirin for a heart attack. You know, we did that for years. FDA never approved of that, which would mean we couldn't do that. So we don't follow the FDA as doctors. We follow best practices of medicine, guidelines by medical societies, and evidence-based medicine. So just to be clear, even though the FDA has not approved testosterone treatment for men that have low testosterone because they're aging, doesn't mean that you and your doctor cannot make that decision. In the book, I reference a lot of studies regarding the cardiovascular disease. It doesn't matter the age, even in their 70s and 80s are more likely to survive without cardiovascular disease than men that are not treated. There's a clear link between treating low testosterone and surviving cardiovascular. It doesn't mean you'll live forever, obviously. You're not immortal, but it will push that time out and make you healthier longer. When we look at health span or lifespan, they should go hand in hand. So if we want to live longer, we want to have our health in good shape longer. Ideally, you live a nice, healthy life, and then when it's time to die, you have a short illness or injury, heaven forbid, and you just kind of check out. That would be maybe a nice way to go versus being dependent on somebody for a long time. So these things, the studies are referenced in the book, really refer to health span. How long are we healthy for? Once you've had the heart attack and maybe get heart failure, you become a little incapacitated. So we push that off as far as possible. Get back to weight. Weight is related to diabetes type 2. And long-term studies, a lot of them are out of Germany because they've been using a long-acting form of testosterone longer than we have here in America. And they found that much lower incidence of developing diabetes on men who are taking testosterone replacement that have low testosterone, less incidence of obesity in men that have low testosterone, and even reversing obesity to some degree with men taking testosterone. Two other things that sometimes doctors cite because of their lack of awareness and not prescribing testosterone. One of them is the possibility of getting a blood clot. So there's a theory that testosterone might cause blood clots because high-dose birth control pills cause blood clots in women that are over 35 and smoking. So there's a unique subset of hormone replacement therapy, which would be the birth control pill, that has clotting effects in women. So doctors maybe have translated this in the men. So large studies done with tens of thousands of men looking at the rate of blood clotting and then with testosterone or without testosterone. Well, it's not protective, but it does not increase your risk. So there's not an increased risk of blood clot, at least not scientifically, on testosterone replacement in most clinical studies. And last one is prostate cancer. So we know when a man has prostate cancer, one of the treatments is basically a chemical castration where they give you drugs to markedly suppress the testosterone level. And this has led to some suspicion that, well, if that's the case, maybe testosterone replacement leads to more prostate cancer. This has been studied extensively. There's no link. So men with the lowest testosterone have the most aggressive prostate cancers. That's a known. There's even studies treating prostate cancer with high-dose testosterone. I'm not recommending that, but these studies do exist. And it appears that testosterone replacement does not increase the risk of getting prostate cancer. Does not increase the risk. It might decrease the risk, but there's not strong evidence to suggest that. So I'm not going to make that a point. I'm just saying it does not increase your risk of prostate cancer. And in 2023-24, we should not be missing prostate cancer. Under the right circumstance, can be detected fairly easy, even with more advanced techniques such as 3D MRI and some blood testing. The blood testing kind of is getting a little bit of a bad rap because there's some misinterpretation of it. But currently, the PSA test in the right setting can be very accurate for screening for prostate cancer. And so can a 3D MRI of the prostate. I've done both of those myself to make sure I don't have prostate cancer. So testosterone replacement does not increase your risk of prostate cancer. A man gets prostate cancer, we're typically going to take them off their testosterone replacement, treat the prostate, and then generally wait about 4 years of remission before resuming testosterone, because, you know, once your prostate cancer is treated, you're more likely to die of a heart attack or something else than a recurrence of the prostate cancer. So that's the prostate cancer. So let's go back and sum this up. There's also some evidence that testosterone replacement is good for depression, clinical depression. It does appear to have some improvement of outcomes in people with congestive heart failure. And there's numerous other conditions where testosterone replacement therapy is beneficial. We've even used it for patients with MS, both men and women. It's beneficial for them. So testosterone replacement, again, there's three forms. We most commonly use the pellets and injectables are second to that. We don't prescribe the creams in our practice. Not bad mouthing in the same. There's not good data to support it. So we're not using it for that reason. There's plenty of data on the injectables in longer forms, such as the pellets. And the injectables are done either once a week or twice a week. That's probably the best timing. Once a week is adequate. Some men prefer twice a week because the level is a little bit more even. It can be given intramuscular or subcutaneous. Most men give intramuscular, but subcutaneous, if you have enough subcutaneous fat, that's a hurts less. And the pellets are putting in subcutaneous and usually typically into the fat of your buttocks every 5 months. We have to monitor hemoglobin. So when you take testosterone replacement, there's a risk of what's called polyerythema. We call it polycythemia, but it's really not. It's just the red blood cells go up, not all cells. And when that happens, you know, you go give blood at the Red Cross every you know 8 weeks or so, or do what we call a therapeutic phlebectomy or phlebotomy. And I don't see that too much in practice. It happens once in a while, but it's something that can be managed. And basically, you do a blood count at 6 months and then a year, and then once a year if it's normal. Most men never have elevated red blood cell counts from testosterone, at least not clinically elevated ones. Monitoring the testosterone level, you know, it's very confusing. So when we look at the insurance basis for low testosterone treatment, the testosterone levels typically got to be below 280. And so theoretically, if you were 265 and you took testosterone replacement and got yourself up to 285, technically you are now normal. You're still going to feel like shit. You're still going to be tired. You're not going to help you with your weight loss. It's not going to help you with your cardiovascular protection. But then technically, you're in the normal range. Your doctor will say, well, labs are normal, so you're good there. So we don't use that as a basis for determining levels of testosterone replacement. You can check it because if, let's say, you're not feeling better and we check your level, it's like 900, well, there's something else going on. We should look for it. Or we check your level and it's 300, you're not taking enough. But we don't necessarily watch that carefully because it's not particularly helpful. Just like if you had high blood pressure and you're taking an ACE inhibitor, we're not checking the level of the drug. We're checking your blood pressure. Okay, so that's kind of the concept behind not being really aggressive on checking a blood test for testosterone. It's also very misleading because let's say you take your shot and your level goes up to 1200, 1300, which is higher than normal. Your doctor may freak out. You may freak out thinking bad things are happening. Nothing happens. It can be high. And also, there's a difference between the physiologic and pharmacologic blood levels. So the physiologic level for a man, let's say, is 280 to 1100. That's where if you took 100 men between, you know, 18 and 80, that's where they fall. And we would know the guys at the 280 are really kind of, they're usually heavy and they've got low sex drive and other issues associated with low testosterone. That's the physiologic level. But the pharmacologic level is usually on the higher end because your body makes special things like albumin and sex hormone binding globulin to kind of gobble up the testosterone seeds coming from the outside. So you got to run a little higher than normal physiologic level. So we're going to be in the upper end of physiologic or even a little bit over in that. That's perfectly safe. There's a measurement called a free testosterone level that's really can't be directly measured, but something in the laboratory tries to calculate how much testosterone is free and available for you. But that's never been really ironed out on, you know, what we really do with that number. So we base it more on symptoms. Last thing is, you know, sex drive. So erectile dysfunction, urinary, say genital urinary health. So studies with testosterone replacement in men that had minor urologic symptoms like frequent urination at night, things that happen with age, they typically get better over time with testosterone replacement. Sometimes the volume of the prostate will go up on MRI, but the symptoms get better. It's not clear why that is, but that's been shown in numerous studies. Sex drive usually gets a little better. So if a man has lost some sex drive, it usually gets better. If a man has erectile dysfunction, not a sure thing. You know, there's other drugs that we use for erectile dysfunction and even techniques. But if your testosterone is low, the likelihood of erectile function goes up. If you treat it, good chance it'll get better. But it's not the end all for erectile dysfunction. A lot of times there's circulation problems that affect that. But something we should think about when a man's being evaluated for erectile dysfunction is check your testosterone level. Man's being evaluated for fatigue, you know, do you want to take a nap in the afternoon, less energy, not as much strength. I should check testosterone level. Man has a heart attack. We're being evaluated for, say, an executive physical where they're checking their heart with a stress test. What's his testosterone level? We know if it's low, your risk of having a heart attack in the next 6 years is double, you know, than if a guy, if you don't treat it. So we can easily check that. So I really advocate doing a screening testosterone level. I mean, even if your insurance won't pay for it, it's pretty cheap. Costs $20 or so. So it's easy to get done. And when we check testosterone levels for screening, we're usually just doing a total testosterone, not the calculated free, because that's you're not on the testosterone replacement at that time. So, and then again, you still do routine screening for prostate cancer, even though it does not increase your risk. So in summary, testosterone replacement, if your testosterone is low, you're going to get fat. I wrote the book. You can kind of read up on it. I put in the studies at the studies are all listed that I reviewed. This was written a few years ago, but it's still valid. The biggie I think about is cardiovascular risk. That's my biggest genetic risk. I've got what's called the heart attack gene. So I would be wanting to make sure my testosterone is optimized and I'm eating properly and exercising properly and doing all the things possible to reduce risk of heart disease. Knock on wood, so far, doing great. Obesity, you know, a lot of interest in these GLP-1 agonists. We need to check these patients for low testosterone and replace that if appropriate, you know, if it decided between you and your doctor. Cardiovascular disease, again, is a big one. Does not cause prostate cancer increased risk and does not cause blood clots increased risk. So this is a safe medication. And I think that the fact that there's no drug company pushing it, a lot of doctors just aren't aware of it. And this is not a criticism of the doctors, but they're always getting hit with new drug reps bringing, you know, donuts in and a new drug for whatever condition. And that's sort of the direction their brain turns to. And since the government has advised the manufacturer that if your testosterone is low just because you're older, it's not necessary to treat it, that is nothing really could be further from the truth. You know, unless you're just trying to figure out how to cut healthcare costs by letting people die prematurely. And that's, I don't know if that cuts costs because they're, you know, if you have a heart attack, that's very expensive. So promoting screening for your testosterone, not being afraid to restore it. And this is something that you can, you know, see a doctor, get a blood test. Even nurse practitioners and PAs are allowed to prescribe testosterone in most states. It's considered a controlled substance, just like a narcotic is. So not all states allow all providers to prescribe this. And then really kind of limited monitoring. And this goes along with lifestyle to extend lifespan. So thank you very much.